So a question was asked. Let me see if I got it right. Sometimes we'll attend a class where a certain approach, be it philosophical, hashkafic, emuni, a certain approach is being presented. And when we study, we discover that maybe there are other approaches that don't exactly agree with this approach. Is one supposed to espouse, is one supposed to adopt one specific approach in hashkafa, in questions of Jewish philosophy? Or is one supposed to learn things and try and be aware of all the different approaches and just know that there are some rabbis who view it this way and some rabbis who view it that way and just get a broad picture of everything? Okay. So let's develop a few things. I want to begin very distant from your question, because I think that will help us clarify a point that will help us in understanding one step in the question. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yitro, so his father-in-law Yitro said, I understand your philosophy, your belief, but I'm willing to let you marry my daughter on the condition that one child I get for Avodah Zarah. And the Medrash says Moshe agreed. So you read that. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed? How does that work? So the Mefarshim explain that the Medrash is not supposed to be taken literally. Moshe Rabbeinu would never agree to such a thing. The argument between Yitro and Moshe was philosophical. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know monotheism is right. I know Hashem runs the world. When my son is born, I teach him Shema Yisrael Hashem Kenu Hashem Echad. I teach him the basics of Jewish faith. And he grows with that as a given. And as he grows, he'll learn more and more and understand it better. And Yitro said, I also know Shema Yisrael Hashem Kenu Hashem Echad. I know monotheism is right. I know Hashem is running the world. But I researched and I checked out every religion and only then did I attain this knowledge. And I think that the way to educate a child is by first letting him encounter every philosophy, and ultimately he'll realize and we'll teach him this is right, but first let him be brought. And that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in agreeing to Yitro to let him educate one child that way, in a broader way that will ultimately lead him to Judaism. And that's why our sages say Moshe Rabbeinu had a grandson who served idols. That it was a result of that failing in education, in conceding to his father-in-law that they'll take one child and educate that way. We're not dealing with Avodah Zarah, God forbid. We're not dealing with mistaken philosophies. Our discussion is within Judaism, there are many philosophies. But the concept that we learn from this Medrash is that when we're educating a child, when we begin education, you can't bombard a kid and start telling him, there's this sheet and there's that sheet and there's this understanding and that understanding. You have to tell a child Mishnah Sduha. When a child begins, you have to teach him, this is the way it is. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and there were miracles and everything. You explain to him with a clear understanding, one path in understanding what happened. It's only after a person has understood and has a footing within the understanding of what happened that you can start opening up him up to the fact that there are other understandings within Judaism. But it's very important when a person is starting out not to confuse him. Very often I wonder if I'm doing you guys justice by expressing so many different opinions. Because many people are here and they're just starting out. And the right thing is, when you're starting out, first get to know Rashi. Know the Torah the way every child's supposed to learn the Torah, with the basic Midrashim, the way Rashi teaches us. And after you've mastered that, and that's your basis, then we could work off of that to exploring other understandings. And that's why I often say, if you're coming to the Chumash class, it's with the understanding that you've gone through Rashi well. I don't do Rashi. Rashi is the most fundamental, and I assume you've gone through the Parsha with Rashi if you're attending the Chumash class. My goal is to present you with the other Rishonim, which I consider of less importance. Rashi is the most important. That's the way our children are brought up. That's what our children know. That's what should be our basis. You have Rashi, then we can work on exploring other things. But firstly, know the basic Chumash Rashi. when a teacher is giving a class, very often he has to teach the students a certain way. Sometimes I do the same thing. I'll go with the medrash, and one guy's going to pipe up and say, yeah, but this medrash that contradicts, yeah, but there's an opinion that goes the other way. And I'll say, okay, and I'll continue with the way I was going. Because I'm trying to present one thought. You can't present the thought, and at the same time start saying, yeah, there's a different opinion here, and there's a different opinion there. Last night, after we finished our class here, I went to Merkaz Rav and did a short version in Hebrew with the guys there. So the guys there, they're familiar with all the concepts. They've already learned much of what we're discussing. So over there, that's what I did. I started Parshas Vayigash, and I said, okay, now we're going to work through the first two aliyos according to three opinions, three understandings of the aliyah. And each pasuk, I said, okay, here, if we understand that Yehuda is approaching Paro strongly, so what he means to say is this. And if we understand that Yehuda is approaching softly and he's begging mercy, then it's like that. And if we understand that he's approaching softly, but there's an underlying message that's harshly, then he means this. And each pasuk by pasuk, I could do that. Why? Because the people were already familiar with the concepts. They've already gone through this parsha 15, 20 times in their lives. So now they can go through the whole parsha, pasuk by pasuk, and understand that there are three different routes to go. When we did it here, I couldn't do that. Hey, you're learning the story for the first time, second time, the third time. You have to have a route. So we went one way and we went another way. Only after we finished going one path through the whole story, we said, okay, but there's an alternate path. And even that, I question whether it's valid. I question myself many times. I wonder whether this class isn't 10 steps beyond where we should be. I don't know. I'm still a doubt. So I don't think it's a question if someone's giving a class and they present one opinion. Rabbi Feinstein was once giving a class in Talmud. And he's giving the class. And he's developing the understanding of the Gemara one way. And one guy pipes up with a question and says, but can we understand Rashi this way? Rabbi Feinstein says, no, not that way. Rashi means like this. And he continues. Two Rashis later, the guy pipes up again, but maybe Rashi over here also means the other way. And Rabbi Feinstein says, no, not that way. And continues going. And throughout the class, the guy keeps piping up and asking, maybe like this, maybe like that. And every time Rabbi Feinstein says, nope, he continues throughout the whole class, giving a whole shiur, which is printed in the Dibros Moshe. It's printed in his work on Talmud. But what you don't know, when you read the printed version of his class, is that the next day he came to class and said, now I want to review that Gemara again. And he started going through the same Gemara the way the guy claimed. He said, now I want you guys to see there is an alternate understanding for the Gemara. And he gave class, the whole class, teaching that Gemara the way the guy said. Why? Because when you're presenting one path and understanding something, you can't at that time contend with the fact that there are multiple understandings. You got to present one way. After you finish that, then you could present the other way. After that, you've gotten this whole path, then we could start understanding that there's another way of understanding. So, firstly, it isn't a big question that someone's going to give a class and you're going to say, yeah, but maybe there's this understanding, that understanding, and he'll say no. Because he's presenting that way. I want to add something to that that's different. Right. That's an educated. I'm not yet holding with where a person is headed. I'm saying when we're learning, it's very important that we should learn one way. And after we learn that way, then expose ourselves to another way. If a person's going to learn Maharal, then it's not always good if he's going to learn a Maharal with footnotes that starts quoting, this is where the Ran disagrees, this is where the Rambam disagrees. It's not always so good. Sometimes it is good, sometimes not. So the first level is, when we're learning, we have to learn one opinion at a time. But going with that, as we continue learning, then it's good that we should expose ourselves to other opinions, assuming we're going to learn for 20 years, 30 years, our whole lives we're going to learn, so let's go through all of the Maharal. And after we go through all of the Maharal, let's go through the Drash HaSaran, and let's go through the Rambam, and let's expose ourselves to many, many different understandings. There's a lot to learn out there. Sorry, that's our pizza. So that was all as far as when we're beginning, when we're getting our education. I want to add something, which is not only when we're beginning, it's also as a person grows, and later on as well. There is a certain tradition that developed within Hashkafa, within Emunah. If a person is learning in Mechon Meir, Merkaz HaRav, so he's going to be exposed to a lot of the Maharal, a lot of Rabbi Yehuda Alevi, and this isn't something that began today. The ways of these yeshivas match many concepts that are espoused in the philosophies of the Maharal and Rabbi Yehuda Alevi and others. So when a teacher is going to teach, he's not only presenting the students with one understanding, which is the way we can teach, he is also possibly, quite possibly, teaching one understanding, which is the primary understanding which the yeshiva goes with. And there's nothing wrong with that. We spend a lifetime learning, and within that lifetime learning, we're going to discover many different understandings within our learning. Some of the understandings are not fit for a beginner, and some of the understandings were not really adopted within Judaism. The Rabban was a great rabbi, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershom. He wrote a work that caused greater turmoil than the Mora Nevuchim, called Milchamot Hashem. The rabbis didn't accept his work. So he wrote a work on philosophy, was a great rabbi, and nonetheless, that work was not accepted into mainstream Judaism. You can see the Malbim in Melachim goes on an all-out attack against the Ralbag. He says it's ridiculous. We don't accept that attitude, that understanding of miracles within Tanakh. The Ralbag tries to explain everything logically. He goes beyond where the Rambam went in Mor Nevuchim, and his way of understanding was not accepted. Not every understanding that was presented was accepted historically. Many of the things the Rambam will say in Mor Nevuchim, the rabbis did not accept. So it's not only a question of the beginning stages of education where we say that a person has to be focused and first understand one understanding, but even when a person grows beyond the beginning, it would be to a person's service, it would be to his benefit, to remain within what we would maybe call mainstream Jewish philosophy or the way that the tradition has been studying. Now this is a complicated thing to say, because how do you define who's in and who's out? Who defines that? This isn't Shulchan Aruch. But you'd be surprised, there is a discussion, there are tshuvos that discuss, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's the Chavos Yer that discusses an argument between the Rambam and the Sefer HaIkarim. Are there 13 principles or 3? What are we going to say? If someone says, I want to go like the Sefer HaIkarim, I'm only espousing 3 principles, I'm not going with 13. Is he not Bikoros? So that depends a little bit on how you understand the Sefer HaIkarim. But what would the Rambam say about the Sefer HaIkarim? It seems like Judaism has adopted the Rambam, and a Jew is going to be expected to do that. I don't know what a Beis Din would do if a person would walk in and say, I want to become Jewish, but I want to go like the Sefer HaIkarim. I'm not going to go with the Rambam and Zot HaTorah Lo Teh Mukhlefet. I don't know what a Beis Din would do with such a person. I don't know. You know, okay. I can guess, but I don't know. I don't know. So it's not only a question of the first stages of education. Even when a person continues, there are things that are to his benefit to study, and there are things which can cause him to have great misunderstandings and great complications. The Rambam, for example, in Mor Nevuchim, explicitly writes in his introduction, this is not built for the masses. I know, he says, people won't listen to me and they'll read my works, but it's wrong. I'm telling you, I'm going to conceal things, and I'm not going to say exactly what I mean because I have to worry about people reading it, and you're not ready to read my work until you've finished all of Tanakh and all of Shas and all of Halacha, and you know everything, and after you've learned that, you've learned all the philosophies, and then after you've gotten all that, if you still have questions, then you can start reading my book. How many people have done all that? I don't know of any. And yet, people are reading his works. And he says, I know people will end up doing it. It's wrong, but I know they'll do it, so I have to conceal what I really mean. So you're reading a work where the author says you're not ready to read it, and the author says, I'm not going to explain to you exactly what I mean, and then you say, but I don't understand. Yeah, of course you don't understand. He said you won't understand. So That's a work, for example, which people, I'll sometimes walk into Beis Medrash here in Machon Mir and I'll see people reading that. And I wonder, wait a second, you didn't read his introduction? How come you're reading it? He himself said, don't read it. So if you think what he says is of value, and I hope you do, so then he said, don't read it. So the second stage is that there are things which are more important and more mainstream, and those things are really the things we should focus on. All that being said, there is a certain breadth which a person might want to gain, and it might be healthy for a person to gain in being familiar with other understandings. When we learn about Jewish, call it Jewish philosophy, call it emunah, call it hashkafa, there are different approaches, and there have always been different approaches, and different things will resonate with different people, and it's good for a person to feel comfortable with what he's learning, and there isn't only one path. The Gra writes in Mishle that the job of the Navi used to be that when a person would come to the Navi, so the Navi was like the Rebbe. You'd come to him and the Navi would say, based upon your strengths, based upon your temperament, based upon who you are, the correct way for you in Avodat Hashem is to focus on A, B, and C. And the Navi would define a path for each person, an individual path for each person in their service of Hashem. What's right for me isn't necessarily right for the other person. We're different people. And within Judaism, there's a conglomerate of colors. It's very colorful. We don't all have to serve Hashem in exactly the same way. Within the Tariag Mitzvos and within the Shulchan Aruch, there's still a lot of breadth where each person is going to stress different things, and that's right. It's not wrong. Well, also within philosophy, there's a lot of breadth. One person's going to rather work on himself and breaking all his bad middos, and another person's going to rather work on himself and strengthen all the good middos, and someone else is going to try to do a mixture of both. And you can't say this is right and this is wrong. There's an aspect where this is right, there's an aspect where this is right. We have to do this and we have to do that, and there's a time for this and a way for this and a time for that and a way for that. And different people are going to work with different things. One person can only work through sadness. Where he's holding today, the only way he could serve Hashem is through sadness. It's not good for him. Eventually he has to evolve out of it, but that's where he is today. What are you going to do? Another person can only work through happiness. Another person has his strengths and his weaknesses. And by the same token, within, quote, Jewish philosophy or emunah or hashkafa, there's also a tremendous amount of breadth. There isn't only one path in understanding why we're the chosen people. There's the Ran's explanation and the Maharal's explanation and the Rambam. You have many different understandings and a very basic concept in Judaism, the fact that we're the chosen people. I don't think that on this point someone can stand up and say you have to go with this opinion. There are issues where it seems that Judaism has adopted a certain approach, which that's what Judaism has accepted. And maybe we could even say that's like philosophical halacha, because that's what's accepted today. Like if a person's going to walk in and say, I'm going with Rav Yosef Elbow, not the Rambam, we'll say, get out of here, come on. All of Judaism is going with the Rambam. You're going to wake up one day and say, I'm not going that way. But there are many points where there is no accepted opinion. What are we going to say? We saw Machlokas Rambam Ramban in our parsha, in the understanding of what's the Shechina. You're going to say the Ramban is right? Who are we to say? We know who's right. And understanding what are angels, and understanding does a prophet ever see Hashem, or does, like the Rambam say, no prophet ever saw Hashem, those all through angels. Machlokas, Rambam, Ramban. There are many machlokot in basic points in Jewish belief, and sometimes it's beneficial to know more than one attitude, but it's not critical. It's only critical if a person learns one attitude and he says, I don't understand this, I have a very hard time with this. So then sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes we say, well, this is the way it is, so you'll have to wait till you can digest it, and this is the way it is, whether you like it or not. And sometimes we'll say, okay, there are many attitudes. Within Judaism, within Chazal, within the Tanaim, we have machlokes on how much there's ashkacha pratit. Machlokes, not everything's agreed upon. Already in the time of the Tanaim and in the time of the Amaron, there are basic concepts in Jewish belief that are argued and not agreed upon by everyone. So why does a person have to go this way or that way? Not, we don't have a halachic ruling on many, many, I'd say even most, philosophical concepts. On the one hand, going back to the first point we said, when we begin learning, we have to stick to one concept. On the one hand, going back to the second point we said, it's good to continue with a certain tradition and continue with what's considered mainstream Judaism. But on the other hand, the third point we said, there is room for knowing more than just what everyone knows, and there are situations where it's beneficial and helpful. But we should remember, this is the third point. This is after a person's gotten the basics, after a person knows what he needs to know. Then we have to question whether it's worth his time investing in getting that breadth or not. And most of the time, I'd say not.
So this is after assessing what are the basics. Now, we know, how do you define what's the basics?
That's why you go to classes. You can't do it on your own. Right. That's why you go to classes.
Now that we've been developing this point, what you brought also arises, what are
our steps to take?
To what an extent could we hold a position after some time?
Oh.
Could we become opinionated at subjects that, let's say you have Machloket Rabban and Rabban on many points in the Torah.
I want to get to that. One second.
It's like a comment. A lot of times, what's the accepted opinion can vary a lot based on what community. Before I came here, everything I worked with was modern Orthodox stuff. So they all, on Jewish Joseph, they all work with a very Rapirishan kind of model of it. And so I never even knew those other models. I get here, then you say Maharam, what on earth is he talking about? Remember, I was reading something in Tradition magazine with the editor. He said something sometimes certain works, such as the Kuzri, will make certain models of Jewish Joseph that are very offensive to us. But you have to understand it. But one, he says to us, if he takes it for granted that all readers follow the same kind of model of Rav Hirschfeld. I was reading an interesting article about Rav Slifkin's wrote a book about evolution and things like that. And this is an article was saying
that's a controversial book that just came out two, 3 years ago or 5 years ago.
Controversial books that kind of deep, apparently in places like YU, they act as if there was never a man. Oh, they say, what's the problem with him? Everything he says is better than what we say ourselves. So there's an interesting thing I was talking about, you have a right-wing modern Orthodox guy and a left-wing Haredi guy. And I think, okay, what's the difference? They both might listen to the same shiur of Rav Slifkin. And the left-wing Haredi guy will say, yeah, but he could have shown a bit more respect for the traditional ways of viewing. He could have said more of, I'm so small, and this is what I personally think. And he says the left-wing modern Orthodox, I'll say, but listen how many sources he had. Yeah, okay, he said Billy 25. Look how many sources he had. Everything he says is fits with everything else. So what's the problem? What are you talking about? Why do you tell him?
I want to...